Well, good afternoon, everyone, and can I welcome you to the Planning Committee. Can I first take apologies for absence, please?
Chair, unless there are any from the body of the meeting, there's none.
Okay. Does anybody know of anybody that's not here?
Councillor Parry.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Is that a standing apology at the moment? Yes. Right. Thanks for that, Councillor Wallace. Right. The order of business
is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Right. Thanks. Declarations of interest. Anybody have a declaration of interest? You can always declare on the item. Councillor Baird.
I've got a very minor one on 5.2. It's just the recommendation is a bias towards food and drink businesses.
Right, thanks very much for that. Anybody else got any declarations of interest? Nope. Okie dokie doo. That then takes us on to the minutes of the last meeting, which is on pages 5 to 10, held on the 15th of May. Is that okay? I'll take that as a yes. Public reports. The first one is 5.1, which is on pages 11 to 70, which is the supplementary guidance for green networks. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to seek the committee's agreement to adopt the Midlothian Green Network supplementary guidance. At its meeting of the 7th of November 2017, the Council adopted the Midlothian Local Development Plan, which included a commitment to prepare supplementary guidance and planning guidance under a number of topic areas, including a green network. At its meeting of the 9th of January 2018, the committee approved the draft Green Network supplementary guidance for consultation and agreed to consider a further report following the consultation. In response to the consultation process, responses from 33 parties were received, raising 142 separate points for consideration. The nature of the response is set out in paragraph 3.3 of the report, and a full summary of the responses is attached as Appendix A. In response to the consultation process, the guidance has been amended, the changes, however, being for clarification rather than fundamentally changing any issues. A copy of a track change version is attached to the report. The Green Network has connected areas of green and blue spaces within, around and between towns and villages that provide usable open space, active travel routes for walking and cycling, habitats for wildlife and plants, and natural surface water and flood water management opportunities. When considered together as a network, green and blue features provide important assets that contribute to place and environmental quality, opportunities for shelter, access and travel, sustainable urban drainage, pollution mitigation, wildlife habitats, and contribute towards climate change mitigation and adaptation. The supplementary guidance provides a framework supporting the delivery of the green network across the whole of Midlothian. Delivering improvements of the network is a collaborative task, whether it relates to the additions to the network or the protection and enhancement of existing network components. The recommendation is that the committee adopts the supplementary guidance and that it instructs officers to undertake the required administrative processes as set out in Section 6 of the report, which include notifying the Scottish Ministers of the Council's intention to adopt the guidance.
Thanks very much indeed. Open up for any members of the committee. Any comments you have to make? Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. Very brief one. It was just really pleasing to see the amount of people, organisations, but in particular individual residents, and I recognise quite a few names of the people that contributed to the consultation. So just to thank members of the public for doing so.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Councillor Hackett. You put things out to consultation and you always wonder if you get any responses whatsoever. In this case, I think it's been pretty substantial and a lot of good points made and a lot of good points taken up by the final report. Is it agreed then that we actually go forward to Scottish Ministers with the adoption of this report? Right, thanks very much indeed. That then takes us on to 5.2, which is on supplementary guidance again, but this case just starting off the journey, and that is for food and drink and other non-retail uses in town centres, pages 71 to 104. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report seeking the committee's agreement to undertake a formal consultation on its proposed food and drink and other non-retail uses in the town centre's supplementary guidance. Again, at its meeting in November 2017, the Council adopted the Midlothian Local Development Plan, which included that commitment to prepare supplementary guidance, including on food and drink and other non-retail uses in town centres. The guidance provides a framework to protect and enhance town centres and to ensure that the right development is directed into the right areas. Food and drink and other non-retail uses should not compromise the amenity, environment and functioning of town centres, but should be part of a wider range of facilities supporting vibrant and diverse commercial areas. The guidance seeks to ensure that these areas are allowed to thrive and develop to meet the changing needs of local communities, with uses and facilities which attract high footfall and economic benefits. Town centres are experiencing change from a predominantly retail base to a more holistic hubs, providing a range of services in one area. This change has resulted from national economic factors and a change in shopping habits, including increases in online retail. As there is a shift in how town centres are used by residents, it is imperative that the Council sets out clear guidelines detailing what is and is not acceptable in its town centres. The draft guidance will be made publicly available on the Council's website for a period of no less than 28 days. Community councils and other interested parties will be notified of the draft guidance and invited to make comment. The recommendation is the committee approves the draft guidance for consultation and that it consider a further report following the proposed consultation.
Again, thanks very much indeed. Open up to members of the committee. Any questions or comments? Councillor Smale.
Yes, very briefly, on page 98, we have a strict rule: conversion of ground-level retail space to residential uses will not be permitted. If you think about Gore Bridge, we actually deliberately converted some ground floor spaces back to the original housing use using very fine ashlar finishing. I would just like to suggest that conversion of ground-level retail space to residential uses will not normally be permitted. There are these cases where actually the original use of the building was a residential house, and in terms of the environment of the township, I think sometimes that will be the appropriate answer.
Yeah, Chair. The reference to page 98, that's the appendix, which is the policy set out in the local plan. That's in the guidance. It's just an appendix. So that's the policy position. There are always situations where applications come forward where material considerations can be considered, which can be weighed up against that policy position. So there's always that fallback position. But the policy is just set and putting down a marker that, Chair, it doesn't want to lose those retail units to non-commercial activity. But the guidance itself says there are circumstances where retail units can be changed to other commercial uses if certain circumstances arise. So there is an assessment and there's some guidance about that in the draft supplementary guidance, Chair.
Councillor Smale, you're quite happy with that explanation?
Right, thank you.
Right, thanks for that. Anybody else? No? Can we then agree that it goes out to consultation in the nature of what's that's been explained? Right, thanks very much indeed. That then takes us on to item 5.3, which is on pages 105 to 110, which is the normal circulation regarding major applications and kind of best guesstimate times, etc., open for local members. If they've got anything at all, just to raise the questions, and Peter, I'm sure, will answer to the best of his ability. So, anything at all on that? Just watch this space. Or watch this space getting used up. That then takes us on to 5.4, which is the Appeals and Local Review Body decisions, and that is on page 111 to 130. Any members got anything at all they want to raise on that? Nope. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That then takes us on to item 5.5, which is on pages 131 to 150, application in principle for residential development, etc. Peter?
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for planning permission in principle for a mixed-use development incorporating residential and employment uses at Salters Park, Salters Road, Dalkeith. Although the application is in principle, the applicant submitted an indicative master plan which indicates that approximately two-thirds of the site would be for housing. This is up to 400 units, and a third of the site would be for economic uses, including a number of work-from-home units. However, the applicants have advised that there is potential scope for these proportions to change depending on market demand. The master plan shows two main vehicular access points onto Salters Road, with a third potential access coming down to the Dalkeith campus access road. The site is within the built-up area of Dalkeith and comprises the Salters Park economic development allocation. The proposed economic use component of the scheme accords with the development plan and is therefore acceptable in principle. However, the proposed housing is contrary to the Midlothian local development plan and is unacceptable in principle. The applicant is proposing up to 400 residential units for which there is no planning requirement. Furthermore, there is currently no primary school capacity or an agreed acceptable solution to accommodate the primary school pupils which would arise from the proposed development. An environmental statement was submitted with the application and concluded that the majority of the environmental impacts have the potential of being mitigated. The applicant has submitted and presented an argument that the Salters Park economic site is not viable solely for economic land uses. The planning authority has not been convinced by this argument, but if it was, it does not automatically mean that housing on the site is acceptable as proposed in the current application. At the time of drafting the report, there had been three representations objecting to the application and 10 consultation responses, the details of which are set out in sections 5 and 6 of the report. After publishing the agenda, a representation in support of the application has been received. The recommendation is to refuse planning permission.
Thanks very much. Did Peter open up for questions, comments? Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. I've been looking into this application, Chair, and this has been something that's been going on since 1974, this piece of ground, and I'm quite familiar with the piece of ground because I come from that area. It's the old site of the Dalkeith Colliery, part of the Dalkeith Colliery, and it's an extremely contaminated site. It's nothing grows on it. It's sitting there. It's been sitting for a long time. And I think we need to find some kind of solution that pleases everybody here. I have had representation from Bakui Estates who have stated that they would be happy with 150 houses on the site and similar with industrial units. Now, I don't know if we're better with something or nothing, but I certainly know we can't just keep batting this back and forward. It's just, and the uplift that we're getting from this, I've had a note last night from Lasswade Athletics Club. The Bakui have agreed to build a pavilion, a changing pavilion at the campus for the groups that use the training facilities, the football grounds and the tracks and stuff, which is badly needed in the area. And they've also agreed to open a pathway up from the site, which takes you through Dalkeith Park and into Dalkeith, which creates a circular route around Dalkeith. So I'm seeing some positives in it. And being in my ward, I really would like to get... I don't want to be looking at this in 4 years' time and it coming back and forward. If we could get some kind of agreement or solution, I'd be very happy with that.
Thanks for your comments. I'll bring you in once we've maybe got some more comments. Has anybody else got anything, any comments? Councillor Smale?
Yes, obviously we have to respect the traditional zoning of this site, and the officers are certainly fulfilling their duties and drawing our attention to it. However, coming at this afresh, it seems very strange that we have the major PFI development of Dalkeith High School, and yet no provision for houses adjoining it, which automatically offer a safe route to school. Also, I was part of the discussions which indicated that Buccleuch Estates will facilitate the opening up of access to Dalkeith Country Park on the very busy 6094, which therefore will create a very attractive route directly into Dalkeith. In view of our previous discussions on greenways, I'd have thought that's something of material consideration to the committee here. So given that the employment-creating units will, as I understand it, be built first, we have a balanced development here, not purely houses, and it will produce jobs within Midlothian, as well as the other economic contributions that may be available. Obviously, there will be Section 75 considerations as to contributions to school places. So on all these grounds, I'm minded to make an exception to the structure plan and agree this development.
Much. I'll bring Peter in shortly. Anybody else want to make a contribution? Councillor Mulligan and then Councillor Hackett.
Thanks, Chair. Chairman, we've just went through a rigorous debate on the problems we've got with allocating school places for the houses we've already got planned and the sheer difficulty we're having in this area. I think the primary school is already heading towards Four Stream in this area as it stands, and we need a real solution as to how we're going to deal with the problem. I think the last I seen, we were talking about a new school in one part and an extension to King's Park. One of the other things here is this is one of the few economic development sites that we have in this area, and we've just went through a full local plan process that gave an ideal opportunity for the owners of this site to bring it forward through that local plan process, the same as everybody else had to do. Now, we've got these thousands and thousands of more houses. There's currently a petition running out there now calling on the Scottish Government to halt building, and you can understand why in the Midlothian area, because it seems to be all we're getting is houses. And at every time and every turn, we're faced with further pressures to allocate housing and sites that's allocated for jobs. And I think we need to actually pause that. But if you want to add that to the problem we've currently got with the schools, if we're going to say yes here, we're simply going to greatly enhance the problem we've got in providing school places for youngsters. It's clearly telling you we have no identifiable area for schooling in here, and I think we need to be heeding that. We've already seen the mess we got into with Burnbrae, where we allocated consent for 200 houses, where we quite simply couldn't identify where the kids were going to go to school and say, well, we'll deal with that later, and we'll see what the outcome of that is. We've now got a primary one and two having to go to a different school to the rest of the primaries to actually deal with this. But in real terms, though, we're sitting right next to a major bypass. It's been allocated for economic development. The applicant had and absolutely knows how the planning system works, so could have brought this forward through the last local plan, where there could have been a question mark to other areas that could have been identified to replace this as an economic development site, and they haven't done so. And just simply to turn up now and say, well, we'll put so many houses in and so many work units in, I don't think it's acceptable. I think we need to reject this.
So, Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. I notice in the report it does mention the fact that Midlothian has enough housing land allocated to meet its need. We've gone through a school estate strategy which identifies how the schooling need is going to be met. I was just going to ask Peter if he or any of his colleagues here from education, if this were to be accepted, either at the numbers being proposed in terms of the housing units or recognising Councillor Cassidy's contribution that it could be reduced to 150. What would be the process then, in either planning terms or education terms, to then meet the need, the educational requirements, if we were to approve that today?
Chair, if the committee were minded to support the application, I would be advising them that it's subject to the usual requirements in terms of developer contributions. So you would be taking a developer contribution towards education. And then, to be honest, Chair, I would have to go away and we'd have to run that back through our education colleagues to see what the best fit solution would be to accommodate the children. I haven't got an off-the-shelf solution to it. I did actually speak to my education colleagues before coming across here today, thinking about what happens if. And the simplest saying, well, we haven't planned for this, there is no design solution for it, it's the wrong side of the town. So the ideal, there isn't an ideal solution for it. You'd have to make do with something. You're potentially looking at playing with catchment areas. I know the council's considering building a new primary school between Dale Keith and East Houses. You may have to supersize that up to move children to that, to move the catchment areas around. So you'd have to come up with a solution, but I haven't got one for you now. I would just say to you, make sure you take developer contributions so that we can go and try and find one for you.
Thank you, Chair. Can you please advise myself and other members, is the house building plans already been completed in the Dalkeith area, in that surrounding area? Because I think there's still some land allocated for house building. I may be wrong, that's why I'm asking the question. Because there is still some house building ongoing, and there is still some in the plan. So obviously this will be additional, even if it is down to 150, although we haven't anything in writing that does say that. I have concerns with regards to education, but also have concerns with regards to health and social care services, which are stretched in the area, and they're finding difficulties at the moment. And if we're adding to the stress of that, I don't think we can cope with any extra housing at the moment. And I think my colleagues with the concerns about education, I think that's very real concerns.
Yeah, Chair, I mean, if we start with the housing position, which is very contentious in Midlothian and many other authorities across Scotland, we've got a situation where housing numbers are set at a strategic level and Midlothian's identified to deliver a certain number of houses, and the figures are referenced in the report. We've actually, through our local plan process, identified sufficient land to deliver those houses. And that's actually quite unique. There's not many authorities across Scotland who are actually in that position at this moment, but we're in that position, and they're getting built. And again, I've referenced that about the almost 13,000 units we need, about 5,000 of them have already been built. There's sites across the district which are set aside to deliver them. Shawfair is a good example. In terms of the Dalkeith context, there's still some additional units to be built out west of Cowden. There's the former high school site, which is sitting as well. But in addition to that housing requirement, it's just worth me pointing out that we also have an economic land requirement, which is often placed second to the housing bit. But we're expected to deliver about 129 hectares of economic land. This site's 30 hectares of that. So there's a component for us to deliver that, and that's because effectively, in terms of looking forward at long-term sustainable growth, it's the sort of business uses and the general industrial uses which are seen as so important to that economic growth. They're quite important jobs, they have spin-off benefits into the economy, so that's why looking after employment sites is so important. Like I said, we're lucky enough that we do have our housing supply, so we don't need to run off and find other sites, because you've gone through that process at the local plan stage, so that's been delivered. I suppose looking at that development site, because of its location next to the A68, that's why it's seen to be ideal for economic uses rather than as housing uses. Although it's in that close proximity to the school, it was seen appropriate to put economic uses there. But there is a bit of history of here, and Councillor Colin Castine made reference to this, and I've gone back to the 1980 Dalkeith plan. And if you look at the 1980 local plan, the site where the school campus is now and the site where part of Wester Cowden housing site is, that was originally allocated for industrial uses. But as time moved on, those uses didn't come forward. The council needed a school site, so it decided to allocate the first phase of the Salters Park as a compensation for that arrangement. But that was in the 2003 plan. The extensions come forward in the 2017 plan. So that's the history of it. It's because it's effectively moved the schools gone there, so it's pushed the site backwards, as it were, Chair. But obviously from a planning perspective, like I say, we've got an up-to-date, a very up-to-date local development plan
the council's identified that it wants economic employment on that site, so that obviously you can understand the recommendation for refusal behind that.
Right, Councillor Baird.
Thank you, Chair. Just so I can understand the history as well, so that goes back to the 1980s, how many applications have we had for industrial use on that site?
Not in terms of Salters Park, none. This is the first for, well, it's a mixed use, includes obviously economic uses, but we've not had any sites since its allocation in 2003. In part, there was a delay because, although it was allocated in 2003, at that point the planning for the A68 bypass was already being planned and thought of, and it obviously then comes forward. So there is a bit of a relationship between that. Obviously, it's made it more attractive to extend it, and hence that's what the council has done for its local plan process. But that uncertainty is most probably impacted on the site being used for economic uses and sites and developments coming forward, and it's that uncertainty. I'd like to think in the long term the siting under the sort of the A68 actually helps the site in terms of its markability.
Thank you. I drive past that site all the time, and I always thought it was a strange place for it to be offered as an industrial area, and that maybe doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be housing, but when you look at where it is compared to what you've got just down the road, you're basically on the wrong side of the bypass for any kind of industrial development. Why would you set up your business there when you could do it at like Shaw Fair or closer to the fort? There's no business sense to build it there, especially with how far away as well you are from the housing area. So you're not even getting folk. You wouldn't even be able to convince people to walk there to retail. Not retail space, like an industrial space. So to me, it always seemed like a bit of a strange choice. I totally get why we need, and I respect that we need an industrial area, but it just doesn't seem to make a whole heap of sense. Like how are people getting to there, and then why would you choose this site over a site closer into the city centre?
Chair, if I just come back on the economic arguments, as I say, we need to deliver 129 hectares of employment land, so the idea is to have a range of sites. So I take on board some of the comments there. So you've got that range, you've got, as you say, you've got the other business parks, whether it's Sheriff Hall South or whether it's the Shawfair Business Park. There's a site down at Redhugh. There's a site in the Hopefield site at Bonnie Ring. There's a variety of employment sites across the district, so you're given that variety and choice. I appreciate to some businesses that may not be their first choice, but it's just to give choice.
Given that this has obviously been earmarked for economic use, and as Peter said, in over what was it, 15 years, there has been no interest in any economic use, does that not suggest that the market has spoken, that this site might have been identified by Midlothian Council for economic use, but businesses do not see this as viable land for economic use? And it strikes me that we need to find a use for it. And if there's not going to be an economic use, then a mixed use of housing and economic use seems more sensible. And perhaps we should be considering the council's allocating of land for economic use that perhaps it's allocating wrongly. And perhaps there needs to be more thought to business input for land being allocated, rather than the council identifying land that it seems to think is for economic use, which repeatedly seems to be the case that we're not finding that.
Councillor Hardy, I'm going to stop you. If you don't mind, I'm going to intervene there. We didn't ask for the land to be put in. The applicant themselves asked for the land to be put in, and depending on when we come to formality, I will be making a contribution anyway. But it wasn't the council pushing for the land. It was our applicant pushing for the land to be put into the local plan, and I'll come on to that later on. But just to assure you that it wasn't the council driving the agenda, it was actually the applicant driving the agenda at that time. Councillor Moorhead.
If the market's spoken in terms of economic development, then the answer to me is do nothing. We've not got a massive demand here for additional housing on top of what we've already allocated. As Peter's already said, we've already allocated what we've been required, and the requirements that are placed upon us by the Scottish Government are onerous in terms of numbers, and we've met that. I don't think there's any councillors in here that didn't get complaints about the amount of house building that's going on in our communities. And this isn't a wee windfall site that we're talking about here, or a few dozen houses, or a few houses. We're talking about quite a major development on top of what we've already been obliged to do. We're being warned about the potential impact that it has on education. Now, we've seen the mess that we're in Burnbury and in Bonnerig in terms of pressing ahead and putting additional housing in over and above what was originally meant to be there, where we didn't have the education facilities available to deal with that. We're going to be in exactly the same situation here. We can't possibly go along that road. I think we really have to, you know, suggesting that we should be concentrating any or economic development on the other side of the bypass, I think, is crazy. I think, you know, I don't know what the up-to-date figure is, but we're talking about at least 50% of our population go away into Edinburgh to work. We want the economic development and the jobs out here. We want people to have jobs in Midlothian. And if we continually allow people who have, as Russell said, asked for that land originally to be economic development, to transfer it to housing, they were not going to have the land available for the jobs that we absolutely need. So, you know, I just think it's crazy if we go along with allowing this to happen here today for the reasons that have been put forward by the officers.
Thank you, Chair. My view is, if we're going to put in some economic businesses there, it's better than nothing being there at all. And we're also, as I stated earlier, we're talking about a contaminated piece of land which the Cooey Estates are going to clean up. I mean, we're sitting there with a barren piece of ground that's got a major gas pipe going through it, and it's got mine shafts that are going to have to be rectified. So, I mean, at the end of the day, do we just sit on our hands and do nothing, or do we put maybe 70, 80 units, industrial units in it, or do we just let them go, leave the ground bare, as you say? Because I know what I'd have. I'd rather see some kind of economic development on there and none at all.
Yeah, Colin's right to talk about looking for economic development, but what's wrong with the field next door to there then? You know, you could put that argument for every piece of barren land here. If the day nothing clause is, but we're not going to do anything. Russell, you're quite right to point out that the application site was brought into the local plans for economic development land by the landowner. The landowner then, through the local plan that we've just adopted, could have actually asked for this to be reconsidered last year and put this case to that, where we could have then looked at where we would reinstate that economic development land. If you look at page 149 of your picture, it'll give you an idea of exactly where that land is and where it is in conjunction to your primary school here. That primary school, which serves one of the highest areas of deprivation in your area, has already got nearly 700 children in it. It's crammed to the wall. It has more children than some of your high schools in it. If we grant consent for that school there, and I would say this strongly to anybody who's going to move to grant consent, make sure and move it that the developer contributes the land and the full cost to a brand new primary school as part of the condition. I'll certainly be voting against this today with the greatest strength as to where we are with our schooling in here. You have a primary school there with 700 children right next to the site. Now, either we would need to build a brand new school with the land to build it on and the full cost of building it, because your capital plan's already overstretched, so we have no money to build another school to accommodate a developer. So I would hope that anybody moving this moves that part of the condition is that part of the site is the land is supplied, and the full cost of building a brand new school is incurred by the developer there, or else that what you're going to have to do is to go to the people who have their children go to that existing school and say to them, that's no longer your catchment area, you have to shift for these other houses to come in, and it will be the children for the most deprived area that will be moved for this.
Just hold on, I'm going to come in and just try and help out a little bit with the history as well. First of all, the developer came forward with this site to be included in the local plan, as you've just heard, in 2003. Known fine well that there was a gas pipe there, known fine well there was contaminated land, and known fine well there was mine workings. They didn't just land last week, last month. They were there prior to 2003. In 2000, and leading up to the second plan, in 2008, the developer came back and said, you know what, I need a bit more land for economic development. And they got the second site, which is actually the bit up the way. They've had a beautiful A68 bypass built for them. Doesn't take a lot to actually come off that, and I'll come on to something Councillor Baird said in a minute. With regard to houses, this council has been vigilant in saying no more houses. On the Strategic Development Plan 2, which is going through the process at the moment, Midlothian Council's position is quite clear and unequivocal. There will be no new houses in the next Strategic Development Plan allocated for Midlothian. But just let me say a little bit about the developer, Buccleuch Properties, who happen to have a major interest, and I'll say that again, a major interest in Shawfield. And I met with the developers, along with a couple of councillors, with regard to the school situation vis-à-vis the secondary school and indeed the replacement Dander Hall School, because the developers were getting a little bit tetchy about the time that this council was taking in to actually decide where the schools would be placed or stroke replaced. And at that time, a map was actually put out on the table and concern was given regarding the number of housing developments out with the Shawfair area in Edinburgh, in Midlothian and in East Lothian. Now, just put it to you that right across the way from the bypass happens to be this site, which is actually, if you took the bypass out of the way, it's right on the boundary of Shawfair. And I just say that to you, not to be presumptuous about what's going to happen here, but just to say that that is something that members should be taking account of, that Shawfair wasn't going to work because of all the houses that were going to be developed around about it, and that it was going to be difficult to make these houses move forward. There's another couple of applications, one we've dealt with as a committee, I think last month, up on another part where the said developer owns land, and one that we'll deal with tomorrow in the local review body. Again, where the developer wants to move away from economic development and get on with doing things that perhaps, dare I say, give it a better return. When Dalkeith Bus Station stroke Garage was looking to relocate, we went to the same applicant and we said, you have an economic development land there, what a real opportunity here to get the bus station relocated there, because it served at that time both East Lothian and Mid Lothian, the group operator, the bus group operator, and they were told, no uncertain terms, that that wasn't the type of economic development that was needed and required, and therefore it never went ahead. There was also people that were interested in setting up what's called a trade park, and that is where you get the various trades that would operate out of a business sector. Again, they were referred to the applicant because there's land made there available to no avail. So I just sometimes begin to wonder if people did really want and try hard to get economic development, or if it was just that we'll try that and then it doesn't work, so we'll come back for housing. Now, I'll be honest, as a local member, and I'm sure there's others around the table who are getting the same thing, absolutely, people are sick and tired of seeing houses upon houses upon houses. And we get told all the time, all the houses are there, where are the jobs? Because everybody has to find a job in Edinburgh. And I just wanted to talk about, is it in the wrong place? I remember in Edinburgh Council many, many years ago, before you were probably born, Councillor Baird, I was involved in pushing the Gyle site, which is now, you would think, was just part of Edinburgh. But at that time, it was set out in the hinterlands, and that now has become very successful indeed. I'll tell you, if we had half the success on this site, and if it was promoted in that way, I'm sure we would be very, very happy indeed. Bilston Industrial Estate, another site that was actually allocated, took years to fill up. Now it's full, and we're looking for other areas. We are actually mandated by Scottish Government to actually find economic development land. We have found it, we have allocated it, and we want to see these things getting developed out. It doesn't always happen in 5 minutes, but hey-ho, here's a situation where this application is in front of you, and it's the decision of the committee, may I hasten to add, that you either decide that you put to side all the policies, put to side all the local plan, and you go for the application as is. And that's a judgment call, and I put it to you. But just finishing on what Councillor Mulligan says, there is no education solution to this, and I just don't understand how we can actually do that knowingly know that there's no education solution to it. So I'll let you formalise it, Councillor Cassidy, because you're wanting to formalise it, champing at the bit.
Well, Sorry,
I did.
Somebody else want?
Councillor Johnson.
I kind of have a foot in both the camps that we need to do something, and whilst housing might not be acceptable and economic or industrial use doesn't seem to be attracting anybody. So I wonder if we could do more to attract businesses and industry to come and settle or invest and do their work in Midlothian. And I wonder if the planners could tell us what's been done on that count.
That work would be done through led by the economic development team, working with the likes of Scottish Enterprise, Scottish Development International, and others. What I would say is that the main, most fruitful way in which we can grow the Midlothian economy is growing our own indigenous businesses, our small and medium-sized enterprises. And a strong focus of that, including startups for that matter, is through the Business Gateway work. So the Business Gateway work, and we link in with, of course, with not just the directly speaking to startup businesses and growing businesses, but also working with the likes of the Chamber, with Skills Development Scotland, with the Federation of Small Businesses. Now, admittedly, the team is fairly small, a small authority, it's a small economic development team, but that's the main focus of our activity. We would expect to see at a more macro scale things coming in through, for example, City Deal. And we would expect to see the skills and employability programs arising from that coming through. There's also work being done in terms of our own education and lifelong learning team to try and build up a skills base within Midlothian so that there is a labour force to actually be able to take up jobs which we would like to see coming in and being developed in the area. So from that point of view, I think it's the effort is actually working, engaging with the businesses. It's not so much the allocation of land. As Peter says, it's important that we meet the strategic requirements for that, and we have. And there is what we consider to be effective land there allocated for use. So we would expect to see that come forward. The rate at which economic development land comes forward is fairly slow. Conveners just mentioned a good point at Bilston Glen. And it is the rate of development is that much slower than it is with residential development, where a planning permission is achieved, and particularly in the market we've got here in Midlothian, it goes very, very quickly. So, and just to finish on one point, if in fact you've got a situation we have allocated land for a particular use, it can be whatever sort of use you want, if it's not coming forward, it's the same with the housing use. If in the instance where a housing site is allocated and doesn't come forward, then the first port of call in development plan terms is it reverts to the use it used to have. So if it was agricultural land that it's not come forward, it would revert to being agricultural land in planning terms. There's no basis for you as a committee to be under pressure to say, well, particularly because of a particular use you've allocated a piece of land for is not coming forward, you have to look at an alternative development use. That's not necessarily the case. So just hope that helps, Chair.
Help at all, Councillor Johnson.
Yes, it does, but I just wonder how we are so good or attractive to house builders to come and build houses here, and it seems some developers are queuing up to do that, but we're not having the same success with industry and economic users. Is there something that we can learn from the way we conduct our business to attract house developers in? So should we be learning something from someone?
My thinking on that would be, and I haven't got the data in front of me, but my thinking would be that probably the rate of take-up of industrial land in Midlothian and the growth of the Midlothian economy in terms of small and medium-sized businesses is probably comparable to a lot of authorities of similar size and type across Scotland, although I haven't got the data in front of me. I think the issue is more with the housing market. The housing market is very, very strong in Midlothian. In fact, you'd probably say it's about the strongest in Scotland if you look at the potential growth rates which are being shown up over the next 10 years. So it's more a question of the strength of the housing market and therefore the scale and rapidity of housing coming forward rather than a decline or a poor performance in relation to the take-up of industrial land and the growth of the industrial side. That's not to say there's any degree of complacency. We need to work on that. But I don't think we've got a position whereby as an authority, we're failing on growing businesses.
Thank you. I just think after 15 years of trying to market a site for industrial or economic use and nothing happening, that we're failing somewhere and we need to learn why we're failing so we can attract industry in. Yeah, I'd love just for most of the people to be able to walk to work and walk home, etc., but we're not managing that, and I want to know why we're not managing it and how we can fix that.
Just to say, Chair, where a piece of land is allocated for a use, if it's not in the ownership of the council, we are dependent upon the landowner bringing that forward. In some instances, particular housing sites have not come forward because a developer might or a landowner might hold it. It's also the case with any other type of land. There may be reasons why the landowner chooses or is unable to say to us why they're not bringing the land forward. But normally, where we have a situation, which has been referred to already, where a landowner seeks an allocation of a particular land use for their land in a development plan, and it's allocated, the authority has a reasonable expectation that the landowner will follow through and see that developed for that use.
Yeah, a lot of hairs running here. Clearly, Buccleuch Estates are entitled from time to time to change their economic strategy and ask us for planning permission on a different basis from what they did before. So I don't have any difficulty with the history of this site. In terms of the debate, we've generally been talking about it as being lots of additional housing, but it's not. It is partly an industrial site, so it does have that merit of producing quality jobs within Midlothian, entrepreneurial jobs. The developers are quite open that they do expect a Section 75 payment, and I have some sympathy with Councillor Milligan's view that it should be a very full one in order to provide school provision and possibly, if need be, surgery provision as well. But in that, the objections on terms of schools and surgery, that's no different from any other house building we have anywhere else in Mid Lothian. And one of the attractions, again, about this site is you can walk your children to school. How many of us have a problem with kiddies being driven to school by their parents and all the consequent costs and the healthiness of that approach? So I think the problems of getting provision through the Section 75 can be solved, particularly as these houses will sell at a good premium. They're an excellent location. All the arguments for the A68 also apply to residential. And also they're opposite, of course, Dalkeith Park, which will allow us to have a very rich and full Section 75 arrangement here. On all those grounds, I don't see what our difficulty is. We want to build up Dalkeith so that the centre of Dalkeith becomes more commercial. This will also have the knock-on effect of creating a more prosperous Dalkeith. And for all these reasons, I think, subject to a very satisfactory Section 75 agreement, this should be pursued. I think the heart of the debate is, are these 150 houses supplementary, strictly supplementary to the 5,000 that we are supposed to produce for the Scottish Government or whatever the number is? I see them as substitutive because there will be other areas where which I don't think will exactly happen. You cannot commit in a sort of Stalinist five-year plan that every single one of those plots of those 5,000 houses are going to happen in the next 5 years precisely as you say. Here, if you want, you could try and ask Buccleuch Estates to reduce the number of houses they build elsewhere in their estate by 150, so there is no change to the overall number. But however you do it, you're always going to have the problem of schools provision and surgery provision, and that can be satisfied by Section 75 contributions, and this site, because of its excellent location next to schools, next to that park, is in a position to pay us a very full Section 75 contribution.
Back in, and Councillor Curran, I'm going to try and draw it to a close.
Thank you, Chair. If I read the report correctly, it's not 150 units, it's 400 housing units. So I don't think it's just a handful. It refers to the applicant coming in after the application with a proposal of having up to two-thirds housing or up to two-thirds economic development. Given that the local development plan allocated 13,000 houses, 400 is not an insignificant number. It's, in fact, a huge addition to what has already been allocated. It says very clearly that there is no schooling provision for these houses. There are arguments that we'll get from members of the public about why we should reject applications for housing. The difference being, in most of those, is that land has already been allocated for housing. And if we were to reject those applications, would be on a, to use a cricketing term, a sticky wicket in terms of trying to defend that if sent to the reporter. I'm reasonably confident, knowing what I do know about, little I know about planning now, that we would be able to defend our decision if we were to reject the application. It was the landowner that came in at 2003 and asked for this site to be allocated for housing. Come 2008, where the land is more easily accessed through the A68 bypass, something quite significant happened at the same time, which was a complete crash in the global economy. Now, recognising what was said about Bilston Glen, that's taken some time to develop, but it has done, and I'm sure if we were patient on this site, we would see the same. If we were to accept the application as it stands, even with that adjustment of up to two-thirds to housing or up to two-thirds for economic, we would be losing, by my guess, about 20 to 25% of the land that has been identified in the local development plan for economic use. It's almost one-fifth. Now, in my mind, that's quite a lot of land to lose for economic development so early on in our local development plan. There was an opportunity going back several years for the applicant to come to the council and ask for that land use to be changed. Buccleuch Estates, if my reading of history is correct, has been around for many generations. I'm sure that company can wait another 5 years if they really feel that they're not able to market this site and get it sold in the next 5 years to come back to the next local development plan and make the arguments there for allocation of some housing. I think overall, the really thing that really kills this application for me is the schooling issue. Now, we've had papers here about extensions, new schools, the whole lot. We are struggling to accommodate the children we have today, let alone the ones of the children that we're going to have in the future. And I think accepting this would just be a very, very bad decision for not just Dalkeith, but our whole county.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not averse to mixed use, and I would like to see something rather than nothing. But the big obstacle for me is the education solution. We already know in this ward that there's a huge pressure on the school role, particularly primary school roles, and the pressures on the capital budget. That's my thoughts on that.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, papers in front of us have 400 houses on it, but two other elected members have mentioned that apparently that has been changed to 150. Can we have some clarification from the planners if that is indeed the case? And if that is indeed the case, why was that not in front of us today?
Okay, Chair. The application is planning permission in principle, so you've got no exact numbers in terms of floor space, in terms of housing units. But what the applicant said as part of their application, and hence it's in the title, was that the residential component was up to 400 units. In support of that, the applicant submitted an indicative master plan which showed a third of the site as economic land uses and two-thirds for residential, and that indicative showed these 400 units. That was the situation, Chair. As we've moved through the assessment of that application, the applicant has said it may consider adjusting the proportions if that becomes an issue. And it said you'll have a third economic, i.e. that stays the same. You then take a third residential, and then the remaining third, well, we'll see where the market goes. There's a bit of flexibility about it. We've already discussed, Chair, that the market for housing's quicker and greater than it is for economic uses, so we must probably know where the market's going to be. But the 400 comes from the applicant. That's what they applied for.
Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sitting here now terrified with what I've heard from my colleagues around me. This, I've spoken to Bakui Estates, well, they've spoken to me, and told me that they will build 150 houses. Now, these houses aren't going to be built overnight. It's not going to be like 150 houses spring up. This is going to be over years that these houses are built. They've also stated that they're going to start building these units, the commercial units, up front. They're going to speculate to see if they can get them rented out as they build them. This isn't some kind of contract, I don't think. As Derek pointed out, why didn't they come forward 4 years ago when they knew we were doing the plan? They could have come forward, but they still believed, I believe, that they could have marketed this as an industrial site. But things do change. And the one thing that I think Kenneth Baird alluded to, and which I might be able to put a bit light on, is we are at the wrong side of the bypass in this part of Midlothian, in Dalkeith, for industrial use. You're talking about Bilson Glen. Bilson Glen is on the main artery, which is beyond Sheriff Hall. Now, if you're working on this side of the town, my business, if I was really relocating my business, it wouldn't be across to Salters. It would be further west, where you get direct access into the west side of Edinburgh, you get direct access to the west of Scotland. So that's trying to answer a bit of that, but I do feel that the scaremongering about the schools, I think that there is a problem, but I don't think there's going to be an influx of 500 children coming in a school overnight. And I think we do have time to rectify this problem. There's nothing in this life that's insurmountable. We do have a problem at the moment with schools, and I do believe that we're going to be addressing those problems. So I'm in full support of this plan, and I still maintain that we're better with some industrial use than no industrial use at all. And I think it'll fly. I think it'll work. So I'm going to nail my colours to that one.
Just for the record, so that I know, you're going to move what?
I'm going to move that we... Can we hold Buccleuch Estates to that they will only build 150 houses? Is that within our powers? Or, I mean, they're talking about 400 houses. They've told me that it's 150 houses.
Well, it's planning permission in principle. So you're going to move the contents of that planning permission in principle so that the applicant knows exactly what they can come forward with. So I'm just asking you, because we're talking about, you're saying that, so are you saying, Councillor Cassidy, I just want it for the record, because we don't know where this may or may not go, it's up to 150 houses, and are you saying that the rest is to be for economic development and that they've got to be developed out before the houses, or are you saying we'll do a bit of each? Because, you know, it'd be really helpful to understand where you're coming from. Because at the moment, the application in front of us is for up to 400 units in principle. Now, what you're saying is you're not accepting and overturning the recommendation. You're saying that it should be up to, in principle, 150 houses. Well, that's what they say. Right. OK, is there a seconder for that? Councillor Baird, right, do you want to make a contribution, seeing I cut you before?
No, that's fine. I do support the application with that in mind, that it's only 150 houses, and we're building them in parallel with the retail space. I think that's what you need in order to encourage. I mean, it's about viability for the site. If you can build houses to compensate for building the industrial unit, that makes sense. When it comes to the educational bit, though, I would remind councillors that we are in the middle of a review for primary schools in that area. So to say that there's not going to be any primary schools is a bit disingenuous.
Chair, we've made decisions on what we're doing for schooling in that area. No, you know, it's no out for debate. We've made that decision. I'm at a loss here. I'd like the people that are suggesting that we go for this to explain what we've actually got to do with the schooling, because it's, you know, scaremongering isn't what this is about. It's about planning. It's about looking ahead. Something that we haven't, in all instances, done properly, and we're going to potentially here repeat exactly the same mistakes again. We're talking about the location of this, as far as economic development, being in the wrong place because it's the wrong side of Sheriff Hall. I'm certainly hopeful that Sheriff Hall will become less of an issue in the relatively near future. If we're not going to develop a site here for business use in Midlothian, where are we going to? It's ideally located. That's why it's there. It's right on the A68 bypass. Indeed, I'm sure that was part of the justification for the A68 bypass, that there would be economic development land in that kind of area. That was part of the justification for having it in the first place. I just cannot understand why we're considering this and we're closing ourselves off to the difficulties that are going to give us from an education perspective. And I'm also, I have to say, quite uncomfortable with sitting here with members talking about assurances that they have received from developers. How does that happen? What are members doing, having meetings with developers and getting these kind of assurances? And even if they are, we certainly shouldn't be basing our decisions here today on such conversations.
For your explanation about education. Right. Councillor Cassidy's moved. Councillor Baird, you were in the middle of seconding. Do you want to say anything further? I'm trying to be open and democratic. It helps sometimes, but anyway. Right, is there somebody to move the report? Councillor Mulligan.
Russell, I would like also to have Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Baird tell us what we're doing about the education stuff, because there's nothing in there about the Section 75 agreement. This council's already taken its decision on what it's going to do for schooling here. That was something that we dealt with just recently, and I've not heard anything requiring a Section 75 agreement, not just for the cost of a new school, but the land for a new school, because currently we've only provided for the housing that's coming. This additional houses has not provided for in the school estates plan that we have in front of us, and I didn't care where 150 houses is going to pay for a new school or be able to supply the land for that. Neither. I actually think that we're actually now getting to the stage with this committee to, if there's a blank piece of land and a developer comes in and says, I can't do anything with them, what to build houses, we'll just build them. I'm actually getting scared now that we're actually in a position here that if anybody comes in at all, any site at all, we're simply going to give it consideration and actually get planning consent. We have a local plan strategy, we have a local plan process to allow the public out there to talk to us and to debate sites. That's what we have that for. The Scottish Government direct us in every way. The Scottish Reporters Unit, directed by the Scottish Government, direct us in every way. And in every time, the application site owners here could have asked at any time for this site to be re-established as a mixed site. They chose not to. So therefore, we haven't planned for any education purposes in there. And I'm going to stress this again. We met staff this morning to discuss various issues. And one of the issues that a staff member for Woodburn Primary raised was there's over 700 children for some of the most deprived areas in Midlothian. It's bigger than some of your high schools. And we're talking about building houses right next to it, which will guarantee to be in Hitch catchment area. So we either have to shift people out or else extend that school to even bigger. So I would keep that in mind. I would formally move that we reject this application out of hand.
You want to speak on it, John, or you said enough?
No, I think I've made my views known. I think we need to reject this proposal on the basis of the debate that we've heard today.
OK, thanks for that. Anybody else want to come in? No, put it straight to the vote. Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Baird, has moved that we reject the officer's recommendation and that we go for planning permission in principle for up to 150 houses with industrial.
Subject
to an adequate Section 75, which will cover off all the all that's needed and required within our Section 75, notwithstanding that Lasswade Athletic Clubs might be in the back of the queue when it comes to community facilities.
Chair, can I request a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Okay, and Councillor Mulligan, seconded by Councillor Hackett, has moved that we uphold the recommendation that's on the order paper today. A roll call vote has been requested. Are we accepting a roll call vote? Yes. OK. All right. Mr Broadway. Councillor Cassidy. For clarity, Councillor Cassidy's is the motion, Councillor Mulligan's is the amendment, given it was done in that way, in that manner.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Alexander. Amendment. Councillor Baird. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Curran.
For amendment to uphold the recommendations.
Councillor Hackett. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Emery.
Amendment.
Councillor Johnston. Councillor Lee Douglas.
For the amendment.
Councillor McCall. Sorry? Amendment. Councillor Mulligan.
For the amendment.
Councillor Muirhead.
For the amendment.
Councillor Munro. You're abstaining.
That's
fine. Okay. Councillor Parry's absent. Councillor Russell.
Amendment.
Councillor Smale.
Motion.
Councillor Wallace.
Amendment.
And Councillor Winchester.
For the amendment.
Okay. Bear with me 2 ticks while I give my mass. That's 5 for the motion and 11 for the amendment, with one abstention.
Right. Thanks very much. And can I just thank everybody for their contribution? And that's what planning's about, is at least having an open and frank discussion amongst each other without hopefully falling out, he says. Make for the door now. 5.6, which is pages 151 to 166, which is a section 42 application for business and industrial units. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a section 42 application to remove a planning condition, condition 8, imposed on a grant of outline planning permission issued in 2012 for class 4 business and class 5 general industrial uses at land southwest of Newton Lone Toll Gore Bridge. Section 42 application is in itself a planning application, a particular kind of planning application for development without complying with a condition previously imposed on an earlier grant of planning permission. The grant of planning permission under Section 42 results in an entirely new planning permission, which will supersede the original permission if implemented. In this case, it would be a planning permission in principle. Condition 8 of the 2012 permission required the proposed development to achieve a reduction of carbon dioxide emission of 15% below the 2007 building regulations carbon dioxide emissions standard through the use of low and zero carbon equipment. This was based on a policy position set in the now superseded 2008 Lothian local plan. Since the issuing of the planning permission in November 2012, the building regulations have changed, and the latest 2015 as amended in 2017 regulations require a significant improvement in carbon dioxide emission reductions compared to the 2007 regulations and the planning position as set out in the 2008 Lothian local plan. As such, condition 8 is no longer required to achieve the carbon emissions betterment for new buildings. Furthermore, the standards set by the latest building regulations mean that new non-domestic buildings shall comply with policy requirements of the 2017 Midlothian Local Development Plan. The site was allocated for Class 4 business and Class 5 general industrial uses in the 2008 Midlothian Local Plan as part of the Redhugh New Community. A subsequent grant of planning permission in principle for appropriate uses reaffirmed the principle of development. The 2017 Midlothian Local Development Plan continues this commitment to economic uses. The detailed layouts and design of the development will be subject to matters specified in conditions applications as the individual phases of development come forward. As the Section 42 application will effectively be a new planning permission for the site, a new legal agreement will be required to ensure those commitments already agreed and secured by the original grant of permission are protected. There have been 5 consultation responses, the details of which are set out in Section 5 of the report, and the recommendations to grant planning permissions subject to developer contributions and conditions.
Okay, open up for members. Quite happy to see the application as is. Councillor Johnson?
Yeah, I'm happy about it, but I've got concerns that this is going to be an enormous building programme that's going to take place in my ward. And it's almost, if they do the whole site, it's going to be the size of another village. So I would like to have more information offline, if that's possible. Perhaps include Jim and Kieran and I in a special briefing so we understand it better. Are you all right with that, Jim, Kieran?
I'd welcome that, yeah.
That's fine, Councillor Johnson. That goes without saying.
Thank you.
If you need that information, by all means, we'll get it provided to you so you get a better understanding of it. Right, so is that agreed? Right, okay, thank you. And thank you very much for your attendance and attention.